final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Shreve, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton Russell, Carter wandering around somewhere back there, and RJ Choppy on vacation golfing in Michigan. Thank you for being a Tolo. Oh, I see Carter's left arm sticking up. Man, Peyton, you got a bigger head than I thought.
Whoa. Blocking you me got from smaller hands than I.
Look at Peyton giving us that Cowboys producer energy.
What a perfect lead in. Because yesterday, Bobby was, were you monitoring or just listening?
No, I saw in Zach's tease that he said 5 o'clock they were going to address what Peyton sideswiped him. So while I was sitting there doing my prep email, I just turned on YouTube on the TV and brought up the live stream.
Yeah. So we were, you know, they were recapping Broadus's impression of me, Bobby versus Broadus fighting over Trey Lance, and Peyton Russell snuck into the discussion.
Yeah. Because when we were talking about, they let off and Dawson joined my side on the Trey Lance debate. They had their own tension, but that was all a setup for what Walchuk really wanted to get to, which is he was listening to the expressway. He wanted to hear back everything that we had done. And he happened to catch Best and Worst of the Weekend. And in Best and Worst of the Weekend, Peyton yesterday took a little bit of a swipe when I had mentioned to Peyton that he's got a different energy when he runs the Cowboys compared to when he runs our show. He's much more aggressive. He's much more ask somebody else to do it. Not my job. I'm the man here. And that's kind of his energy that he brings to it. And so yesterday when that came up, Peyton, when you asked him what's the deal with that, told you, he said, look, maybe I'd respect Walchuk if he made more than 1/10 of what you do, Sean, and said he needs to get his money up before I'll respect him. And Zach Walchuk heard that and decided to first address, this is cut 7, Peyton, decided to first address the idea of how difficult Peyton is.
Bobby brings up, you know, Peyton and how different Peyton is when he's running the Cowboys board versus running the morning show. And Peyton does an excellent job. Peyton can get a little snippy, though. Okay. Peyton,
kind of a prima donna producer at this point.
A little tense, yeah. Okay. Like, whoa. Okay, this isn't my responsibility. This isn't my job. So there was one thing. We do 2 guys, 1 booth in the regular season. And I'll be honest, last year we came in, didn't have a lot of stuff pulled.
That's
a little
right.
bit frustrating. All right, we're relying on Peyton and Ross and Larry, whoever it is that's the number two, to fill us with content. And I ran that role when it was Sham Goes Ham. With Bennett Skin.
There you go.
Pride myself in that.
Yeah, because you're
3 years of really good segments there. All right. So shout out to you. If you get that job, have some damn pride in your work, okay? We need you. You're helping out our show. Peyton doesn't give a damn. Peyton doesn't give a damn because it's not Peyton's show. Yeah. If it was Sean and RJ doing 2 guys, 1 booth, he'd pull it.
True.
Ooh.
I would pull it.
So what is this now, like, in terms of what they're expecting you to just add to?
So they know that Peyton is listening out and everybody's in here listening to the broadcast. Yeah. And so it's like, hey, when you hear Sham with a funny line or something, like, just mark it for us and get it for. And so Wolchuk's having some difficulty that when I was in there, I would clip stuff for people.
Yeah.
And I'm just asking you to do me a solid and look out.
But you're also running the game.
Correct.
You're running the game. And how many clips do you think that they would want you to pull ideally for that segment?
Well, I'm sure they want like 7 or 8 or so to get a full segment. But like I said, it's
too much, unreasonable.
Brad's not, he doesn't know, he probably knows about the segment, but he's not like doing the game going, well, let me have a clip right here.
Yeah, it's not RJ with the Legends.
Like, if it happens, it happens. Sometimes there's 3 or 4, and it's like, you don't want to force stuff out there.
I think Zach is trusting, for the most part, Peyton's ear, and he's hoping Peyton would just look back at Ross and say, hey, that was funny. Mark that for 2 guys.
Which
one
I do. But the thing is, Zach says, can I grab it? That was the big thing. Can you go back? And he was like, can you go back and clip it? And I was like, are you talking to me or Ross? Because Ross is the one clipping stuff.
Yeah, baby.
Because I'm not your B.
Yeah.
And he says, if it was done for Sean and RJ, I'm sure Peyton would do it, which you probably like that aspect of it, that he wouldn't do it for G-Bag, but he would do it for the morning show.
Well, I'd be selfish, man.
I don't even know. I don't even know if I'd ask him. You know, that's a serious responsibility. He's running the game on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. He's probably got Tim Collins breathing down his neck right
Because
there.
Here's the thing. It's like, if I screw up something on, you know, for G-Bag segment, I'm not losing my job. If I screw up something for the game, I'm losing my job.
There you go.
That's how I take it.
It's a good point.
I agree. I'm Team Pepe here.
Well, after Walchuk get a little worked up, they're saying,
and Zach said he did that for who?
That he did that when he was running as the number two, when he used to do it during the afternoon show for Ben and Skin when they were here. He would do Sham Goes Ham, and he would pull it. And so,
but he wasn't running the board for the Cowboy game.
He was the number two. He was wasn't Ross.
That good. He was in the back.
He was Ross.
He what?
He wasn't that good. He was in the
back. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Zach wouldn't have done that if he was in Peyton's chair. It's different.
That's different. That's a good point. I'm not disputing. This is just Zach saying, have some damn pride in your job, was his quote there. Well, so then they play the clip of Peyton saying, get your money up, get your bread up before I'll respect you, fool. And G-Bag heard that. And it wasn't just Wolchuk. They all took turns going off.
Damn, taking shots at me like this.
He's not wrong, though.
It's a big ego.
Grossly underpaid. Grossly underpaid.
I would support that idea.
It's crazy how Peyton only respects people if they got big cash in their pockets, though.
No question.
He said that.
I know.
You sound like a lightweight prostitute right there.
Hey, make more money, then I respect you. This continued.
Sound like a lightweight hooker, bro.
There's more?
Yeah, there's more. Now Sean's cracking jokes because Peyton's talking about going bedroom shopping for mattresses and pillows or whatever the hell he's doing on his weekend. And I guess I can't afford such luxuries.
I spent $100 on this pillow.
Whoa!
So it better last me about 25, 30 years.
Zach wishes he could do that.
Yeah, because...
Wow.
He must have a rich wife or something like that.
Jeez.
I guess he's making more money than we are.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, congrats to Peyton, man. He has found himself on the most toxic show on The Fan, and there's no number two.
That were a voice. Yeah. Mean Green for Life.
Day.
Not so much.
Jeez. Are we toxic?
First of all, I want to know how Lucius talks like. How does he growl like that?
He's like a low-key prostitute.
Pay
no respect if you ain't got no bread.
How does he do that? How does he get that voice to growl?
It's so cool and sexy.
He's got that bassy tone that he can dip into. Yeah. But yeah, we got Lucius saying... Low-key, like, Peyton's a low-key prostitute.
Yeah.
Then you got Gavin Dawson coming back saying, the most toxic show at The Fan, and there is no number two.
Let's examine that. Let's really focus on that. What does that mean? What does that mean, toxic, in that sentence?
I'll say, whenever I hear the word toxic most of the time, I feel like it's being used in a Gen Z way. Like, that's how I hear the word most of the time now. Just like, this is toxic. I have to remove myself. So I don't know if Dawson's saying, like, we're just negative.
Yeah.
Or if he's saying, like...
Do we cause problems? Are we a cancer? Poisonous?
We're dragging things down.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Start stuff. Start fights. Insulting. Is that the way it is?
Yeah.
Is that what he means by that?
We just keep it real.
Are we a whole show of TOs? Like,
are we the only ones who grew up with siblings and brothers to where you know how to joke with people versus like not talk to people in commercial breaks and everyone go out and do their FaceTimes in the hallways and stuff like that? Is
no
that the way?
What are the only ones that do prep?
Is that what toxic means? The most prep show?
Yeah.
Could that be?
I mean, if being prepped is toxic, then sign me up. I'm the most toxic individual here.
RJ's prep is outstanding.
RJ's ChatGPT prep doesn't count.
877.
The randomly generated words that he doesn't even know what's in his prep email.
That was toxic as hell. That right there was toxic.
That's what he's talking about. He's really talking about me.
Biggest S talker. I was going back while Broadus was on and looking at like his YouTube dominance of the hits when he goes on the shows. And in the comments, it was like, Sean and Dawson are the worst. Sean, go take more maternity leave. Talking S to everyone nonstop. So that's what I thought of with toxic in there, maybe, from Gavin Dawson.
We are the most...
Combative?
We do probably... We're the most combative.
But G-Bag will fight.
G-Bag... I feel like we fight more than G-Bag does. G-Bag's fights feel very sincere and real and personal. When Eric Chiafalo walks up there and goes, when Brada says, you have no idea what it's like to live this NFL life, and Eric throws in his face, you're right, I have no idea what it's like to tank an organization with bad drafts for 3 years. That feels a little personal. Yeah. That feels like a little bit of a dig. Okay. And so, or like Wolchuk last year when they're talking about fill in the blanks, and he goes, fill in the blanks are usually one word if anybody's ever taken a test before. And he just like gives like Broadus a little sassy neck. And so I think they're pretty toxic on their own.
Okay.
We do bust the most balls here.
Yep.
And we have the most, we push the line the most with some of our jokes with each other.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah.
I support that. What I did not support was Bobby's pronunciation and vocabulary during the 720 Expressway. How did this come up? Why were we talking about Eric Johnson?
We weren't. I was just using it in a sentence. We were talking about the oldest mayor of Mackinac Island or whatever.
Well,
the longest tenured mayor in the United States.
Okay. You just said the word two different.
No,
Hagelin. Kevin.
I said mayor.
Kevin, come here for a second, please.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Hagelin, let's bring in someone with some intelligence to this discussion. And Bobby, I don't want you to set it up for him.
Okay.
I don't want you to go ahead and twist things. Say the word M-A-Y-O-R.
Mayor.
Thank you. Two syllables or one?
Two.
Thank you. That's all Mayor. I needed. What?
Mayor Eric Johnson. Mayor Laura Miller.
Like a horse?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to call Laura Miller that, I mean.
That is not what I was saying at all. Man.
Toxic.
She did schedule that parade, kind of ruined things for
Thank
the Mavericks,
you, Kent.
Bro.
That's all
what
we need.
He know? He's the math guy. He's not the.
Oh, you said he failed the SAT verbal?
No, I'm saying he's the math guy. Math is his expertise.
We asked the Tolos to weigh in on the Odyssey app. Mayor or Mer? Mer. As Bobby is saying.
And it was a huge debate. The toes were all over the place. But we have Ty in Fort Worth, who's up to the plate first here. Mayor or mayor?
Is it pinch or pinch? Because I'm pretty sure my whole life it's been mayor.
What?
What?
So mayor.
What was the beginning of that? Play that again. What?
Is it pinch or pinch? Because I'm pretty sure my whole life it's been mayor.
What the hell are we
starting? He's trying to use an example, I guess, and then go into
the mayor. Yeah, but Paige? Is Paige a thing?
I think he's saying one is ridiculous and one is the right way to say it.
All right.
But that sounds like he said it the way I say it.
It did, but you know, I'm dismissing that whole thing.
Next up, we have Mark in Fort Worth as well.
Bobby, it is mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor, not mayor. Come on, Bobby.
Come on, Bobby.
I need to hear you say it in a sentence, though. That's the thing. People are going,
the mayor of Fort Worth.
Say it again.
The mayor of Fort Worth.
That's what I said.
The mayor decided. No, it isn't. You said the mayor or mayor.
How do you say your name?
Sean.
Sean. I just said the same thing.
Yes, you did.
That's what and Choppy tells me all the time I don't.
Because you don't.
Sean, that's your name.
You're starting to throw a little you in there. You're starting to throw a little you. Shut up.
This is for the Tolos.
Shut up.
So right now we're 1-1 on the scoreboard. One for Bobby, one for Sean here. And mayor or mayor. And now we have Richard Sean. And Hazlitt.
Mayor is one syllable. The mayor of Dallas, Laura Miller, allowed the Dallas Cowboys to move to Arlington.
Richard, Boom. You just said it with two syllables.
No, he didn't.
You threw the Y.
Mayor.
You don't even know what you're saying. Play it again. Replay that again, Pepe.
Mayor is one syllable. The mayor of Dallas, Laura Miller, allowed the Dallas Cowboys to move to Arlington.
He doesn't even know what he said.
He says the way I did, mayor.
2-1 Bobby. 2-1 Bobby. Come on, dick.
All right, Brandon in Dallas. Here you go.
Brandon.
Yeah, man. Born and raised in Texas is mayor, not mayor.
Bang, bang! 2-2.
Wow, this is 2-2. We got one more deciding one.
Oh, I wonder what Peyton pulled.
What's the name?
Nick in Arlington. Nick in Arlington to decide it all.
Bobby, hate to break it down for you, but two vowels in the word A and O indicating two syllables. Mayor. Sean's got you on this one. Nick from Arlington. Tolo.
Yeah, baby!
Sean
Shuri. Nicholas!
This is just like... Nicholas! Look, I guess like everything else, Peyton's not doing his job, and he's telling other people that they have to do it. Just like I had to go to the fan text and find the truth. I'm going to have to go in there, and I'm going to have to find all the... I'm sure I won this one, and Peyton's rigging it the way he does. High, low, and everything else.
Oh, I heard the door slam.
Corey Mayergers is here.
Unfortunately, you're both correct. This is a situation where the word is actually mayor. That's the way it should be. But we're in freaking Texas, y'all.
Yeah.
All right? We say words a little bit differently. All right? That's just the way that it's going to be. It's mayor. It's mayor. That's just the way we say it around here. It's like it's fixing to happen. No, it's not. It's fixing to. All right, that's just the way we do things here in Texas, y'all.
How do you say his name?
Sean.
Sean.
Did he say it the right way?
That was a little exaggerated.
Sean. Yeah.
Corey Majors has ruled to make it even. Chance Sharif. Corey has interfered in order to even things up for Bobby Roberto Belt. Let's head on out to California. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. Was it Spider-Man or Venom? From CeeDee Lamb. Nick Harris is next. Out to Oxnard, California for the television star. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. It is Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com.
How did television go on Saturday?
Oh, it went well. I can't complain. Appreciate it, fellas. Hope everything's good back home. I am envious of you guys. I'm about ready to get there myself.
Oh, you're ready to leave?
Oh man, I am. These extra 4 days out here, man. It doesn't sound like a whole lot, but then you're like 2 days through it, and you're like, man, this is taxing. But nah, we're getting to it. Two more practices out here, padded practices. We're getting across the finish line.
Yeah, Broda sounded a little tired this morning. He sounded like it had gotten to him a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of defeated looks around here this morning. You kind of look around and no one's really giving you the what's up anymore. And she's like, hey.
So, how far in till everyone is like, we're not going out anymore? We're not meeting up at the bar. We're not having drinks. Like, just leave me alone in my room. When did that stop?
That probably stopped right before the Rams game. So, gosh, we've been cooking on that mentality for about a week and a half.
Yeah. So basically, it was like when we left town. When we left town, you were just like, "There's no more partying." Yeah, left.
After the scene you apparently pulled at the bar and the convenience store afterwards, no one wanted to go out and get embarrassing looks from the rest of the public and patrons.
Y'all took the party with you.
Nick is scarred from Bobby in a screaming match.
All right, let's move on from me. Let's go on to this actual game. Trey Lance, the performance that he had on Saturday night. It's been a topic of discussion here throughout the station in terms of what we may have learned from Lance and the way that he performed on Saturday. What large takeaways do you think we can have from the performance? And what do you think, just in the short term, it did potentially for his confidence?
Yeah, the time of possession battle really didn't give him a strong start. It felt like in the first half that he was never really able to get his footing going. But as that second half went on, you did see that confidence. You saw it in his throws. You saw the zip on his throws. He had some pushes outside the hashes that looked really good. And that was probably my biggest criticism coming out of the Rams game, was that, man, he cannot throw outside. And his footwork still needs a lot of cleaning up. Like there's some stuff there that is just straight up bad. But I look at some of the throws that he made in that second half. I see confidence, and I saw a confident player as the game went on. And, you know, we're looking up after two games and still no turnovers. You know, I think that's certainly something to take a look at too, especially if you're trying to factor in what his value could be as a future backup quarterback in this league. You know, that's what you want. You want reliability and a guy that can keep the ball clean. So, I mean, he's been able to do that so far. You would like to see a little bit more. You would like to see that confidence increase even more going into Saturday against the Chargers. But, you know, coming out of this Raiders game, obviously a much better performance than he had against the Rams.
Who's your number two quarterback?
Oh, Cooper Rush, easily. But I think the question begs after this season, you know, with both of these guys being on expiring deals, you know, you look at a potentially 31-year-old Cooper Rush in 2025 or a 25-year-old Trey Lance in 2025. And I think if you feel comfortable enough with Lance being that backup quarterback of the future, then, you know, that's probably when you make that decision. But if we're talking about 2024, I think Cooper Rush needs to be the guy.
When you look at the idea of, obviously, they wouldn't, I don't think, want to move on from Trey Lance in terms of using him as any sort of trade bait or anything else while there's so many questions in the quarterback room. If they were able to get something done with Dak before the season, just hypothetically, do you think Trey Lance becomes expendable at that point? Is he insurance, or do they genuinely view him as like, no, this is just depth for our quarterback room, whether Dak's here or not?
Yeah, I think I see it as depth, you know, because you could look at, let's say, they get a 3 or 4 year deal done with Dak. You would have to assume that a backup would have to step in at some point during those 3 or 4 years. I mean, even after that contract, you're looking at a 28-year-old, 29-year-old Trey Lance, which is wild to think of, that he'd still be in his 20s by the end of that deal. So they've been talking about wanting to develop a young quarterback, and they spend a fourth-round pick on it last year to go get a guy who only has 2 years left on his deal. You mentioned expendable and trade bait and things like that. Looking at that game against the Raiders on Saturday, I thought he was the best quarterback of those three that played. I think there are still options, but nevertheless, if they want to continue to develop him, I think there is still a path as long as Lance is open to it.
The CeeDee Lamb Spider-Man post meant what?
Yeah, you're beating me. I was consulting with Patrick Walker, who's more of the Marvel DC guy, to try to understand what exactly that meant. I still really don't understand what that meant. I didn't really watch TV as a kid, so don't ask me on that.
Why not?
I was the kid outside, you know, playing football and getting into no good. That was me.
Oh, so Mr. Athlete, Mr. Not Nerd. Remember, he was outside with the cool kids.
He grew up around the horses with DeMarvian Overshone. Remember?
There it is. The flies.
Texas. Oh. The flies of the horses.
So what was the first thing that got you hooked on television, if anything? Was it sports? Or give me something sports-wise and non-sports where you're like, oh my God, this TV thing might be great.
Oh, SportsCenter for sure was the sports thing. That happened pretty early on. But then once I realized there was other channels on the TV, I think Breaking Bad was the first one when I was like 14. So it took a while.
There we go. That's a good one.
So what was Patrick's interpretation of Lamb?
It was him putting on the villain role, and I guess we'll just leave that up for interpretation, and that's what I took away from it. I was watching a lot of YouTube shorts and reading a lot of Reddit posts yesterday, like, what the hell does this mean? So I don't know. I think only CD could probably answer that.
I think it's just he's like a big fan of Spider-Man 3 is ultimately what it comes down to. He just likes the movie a lot.
That's fair.
All right, Nick.
I've heard that Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man. Like, that's what I need to have as an opinion. Other people have told me that, so I guess that's what it means.
Sure, we'll come down to that. Peyton doesn't even know who that is. All right, 1 week left until cut down day. Who is this last week most important for? Who has the most to potentially gain or most lose? Who are the guys who are genuinely on the bubble right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at the last receiver spot, and I'm looking at the last corner spot as well. You know, this receiver spot, man, I think there's been three different guys at different parts in camp who you could say could potentially be that last guy to nab that spot. I mean, it started out with Tyron Billy Johnson. That was a guy who had the veteran experience. He's got the speed. He's got the playmaking ability. But then you see a guy like Jalen Cropper come on who has the speed. He has the playmaking ability. He can also play a little bit inside, and he's only in his second year. But he's had a couple of bad drops in these games. He had a fumble against the Raiders on a punt return. And then you see the rookie Ryan Flannoy take a step forward in the game against Vegas. So I think that last spot, you could also throw in Kelvin Harmon, Racy McMath. Those are two guys who have had strong camps out here the last couple of weeks. I think that final receiver spot's going to be pretty interesting. And then you look at the corner position. I mean, you look at a guy like Keamon Hall. He has come out of nowhere and really shined. I mean, he had the pick six in the game. He's had multiple interceptions out here at camp. Even had one on Dak Prescott earlier in camp. I mean, if you're looking at him potentially over a guy like Eric Scott, I think that's a realistic possibility. So, you're looking at this corner position. I think that one's going to get interesting. But overall, those are the two things. I would probably say tackle as well. Now, while the depth is pretty thin there, you know, will they take a guy like a Cole Cabral to keep that depth a little bit more, you know, padded going into the year? Those are some things I'm looking at too.
I asked Broadus this question at 8:40. Over under 2.5, how many guys who are not on this roster right now will be on the roster week one?
Not on the roster right now. I'll go under, but I'll take that too. Yeah, for sure. I think there is still some holes in this team. You look at the one tech position. I think Mozzie Smith will need some help there. You look at the running back position. That's definitely one to keep an eye on going forward. As I've mentioned before, I feel like they have, you know, a host of RB2s. I don't feel like they have an RB1 anywhere. So, those are a couple of positions I'd definitely be looking at.
Nick Harris on the D&M Leasing Hotline from Oxnard here on Sean and RJ. Did you get to the bottom of Mozzie's milk allergy?
Yeah, so it was happening as soon as the team was loading the buses here at the hotel to go to LAX on Friday afternoon, and we were already delayed 30 minutes because of a plane switch, and then this incident happens, and it pushes us back even further, and no one could really figure out why we weren't leaving yet, and then it kind of the news starts to get around on the bus that, hey, Mozzie Smith is having an allergic reaction, and it sounded like it came from a protein shake that was being handed out like right before the team was leaving on the bus. So he had to hop off the bus, hop in a Suburban, and get over to the hospital, and unfortunately couldn't make it to the game. But he's good to go this week. He's ready to participate in these two padded practices today and tomorrow. He said he's back to business as usual.
How unfortunate is that, though, for him? Just like right now, it feels like he's one of the guys at the very top next to like Trey Lance on the defensive side where it's like, you got to get him reps.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And reps is really important to him. I that was the first thing I thought of whenever, you know, it was ruled that he wasn't going to be able to travel to Vegas and play. It's like, man, he really could have used this opportunity, especially against that Raiders offensive line. I think it is tough. And I think going into this week against the Chargers, you could probably expect an increased workload just to kind of make up for that.
M-A-Y-O-R. Can you please pronounce that word?
It's two syllables, guys. Ah!
Wrong, Nick. You were sorry, so Bobby. Right about so much.
Sorry, Bobby.
And Nick Harris
so
wrong in the end.
Continues to be on fire from Oxnard here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right,
appreciate
Nick,
it, guys.
Nick, one more real quick for you. I got to know, what's your marquee high school football matchup you're looking to start off the season?
Oh, man, to start off the season, I'm looking at Lancaster and North Crowley. Those are two teams that are you know, coming in pretty hot this year. North Crowley is a top 25 team in the country. Who would have thought that 5 years ago? They're doing a really good job at their program. Jonathan Cunningham's a linebacker commit for Texas. They have a five-star offensive lineman, John Turntine. If y'all want to go see some trench work, y'all should go check out North Crowley and Lancaster at the Star next Saturday.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Harris, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Let's crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece, the toxic and the cleanliness mixed together after this.
The set by Yates and the 1-2. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Got him with a splitter that was down, and the Rangers take game one in this series with the Pirates. The final score, 4-3. It is a happy house in Arlington.
Mics are on. Crosstalk with the
KMC. Let's do it.
KMC masterpiece.
Two down, 18 more to go. 20-game winning streak. Come on.
First back-to-back win since the White Sox series.
Oh, my gosh.
That's bad.
If they can win today or tomorrow, it's their second series win since the All-Star break.
And the first against not the historically worst team in baseball.
And Seager said,
even though the Pirates are playing worse the last 2 weeks than the White Sox are.
And Seager said, this year, more difficult to deal with as a losing season than his first year here.
How do you block somebody on this stupid fan text?
Oh,
I'll come do it. I'm not going to deal with somebody calling me a bitch ass on my own show. So that's not going to happen anymore. You're done. See you later.
We have this fight with RJ all the time. RJ always wanting to unblock Mike's favorite person, and then
Michael,
and then Bobby's like, no, and I'm like, you can't insult family. You can't sit there and
oh my God, yeah.
You can't cut that deep. Insult family, wives, girlfriends, and all that stuff. You have to go bye-bye. Those are the rules.
Name-calling stupid and childish, all right? So stop that.
Yeah, dummy.
See you later.
Well, what about being called toxic? We got called toxic by the G-Bag Nation yesterday. The most toxic show at The Fan, and it's not even close. All right.
Wait, it's true.
What do you think of the define? How are we defining toxic, you think?
I don't know. Man. Do any of y'all get up for work and, like, dread going to work, Peyton?
No.
Okay. All right. Then everything's fine.
That's your... Okay, because I am interested to hear how everyone defines it. Toxic. Like... Toxic to me is your bad influence in the building. You spread negativity, cancer, poison. You know, basic
backstab.
Oh my gosh, dude! You just said don't name call.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't a name. Oh yeah,
that'll be used against me at some point.
Mike was chuckling before
I. What you just said, Mike, that will be used against
me. Let me save it.
I think toxic. Generally, if I think of somebody as like a toxic culture, a toxic environment, I think of like backstabbing and underhanded, like trying to manipulate people.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what I think of. Which I don't think that's what Dawson's called. I think Dawson's saying we're taking pot shots. That's what we do. I think he says we're shot.
So your response to him saying you take pot shots is to take more shots?
Yes.
Okay.
It's true. If that's what he was meaning, I have to fight back against if it's toxic negativity in terms of what permeates.
You need us to find more stuff out in the other crosstalk?
Yeah.
Or I guess just off air, probably.
Yeah, no. Ask in the crosstalk. Okay. So what did you exactly mean by toxic? They were curious.
Okay.
So we can go ahead and run that back.
Would you say what Barry Fish does is toxic?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's Barry Fish?
Are we still bringing this guy?
Well, I just looked on the YouTube.
He's a loyal listener to your show.
And Tejano Boy said, "Where are you at, Barry Fish?" So I was just kind of wondering if that was still yesterday.
We did 10 minutes on baseball.
We started the show with baseball, and he was like, "I'm out of here because y'all are talking baseball."
Oh.
And so Kevin and Mike took it upon themselves to call him out every segment and let him know we're talking football.
I didn't do baseball nuggets yesterday, and he didn't even know. So, Barry, if you're listening, because of you, I didn't do baseball nuggets. I did football nuggets.
I got someone that got on me for not doing enough Rangers in the past week, even though they've plummeted out of it.
And that's the thing. Literally in the middle of a segment, you will get texts or people on YouTube or Twitch that are like, "And I don't understand why you don't talk more Rangers," or "God, I'm tired of the Rangers." And it's the same thing with the Cowboys. Yep. Like, I don't want to hear about the third swing tackle. And I'm like, I don't really know if that's a thing. But, you know, and like, you'll get those differing opinions in the middle of the same segment. And I mean, I promise we like ratings and we like money. So we're trying to, you know, appeal to as many people as possible. So when someone takes a personal offense about a segment, I'm like, I promise it was not done just to run afoul of people.
Yes. Corey, what's coming up on your very questionable rundown list of segments?
Damn, Barry Fish. A week till cutdown day. What is Bobby's 53-man roster?
Oh, who are the last 10? Nice. Are you going on KMC today?
No, I'm just going to copy what y'all said earlier as I was listening in.
They're going to ask Mickey about
it. Figure all that out. Yeah, we'll ask Mickey at 11 o'clock. Jason Mangle, championship director of the 2025 KPMG Women's PGA Championship in Frisco, will be joining us at 11:20 today. We got a lot going on, though, man. Lots of stuff to get into considering Corey Seager, the guy with my name.
But he spells it different.
Hit two bombs last night. So we'll have a lot of baseball talk.
Let me ask you this. If he hit two home runs in every game the rest of the way, would you change the spelling of your name to add an E?
Every game for the rest of the way and we make the playoffs?
That's right.
Easy, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Easy, yes.
I dare you to try, Corey Seager.
Has Bochy's delivery or tone changed over the past month or two?
I think so. Maybe not as much as Chris Young yesterday. Woo, baby. Hope everyone on the team isn't embarrassed as I am.
He's fiery.
But yeah, I get it. But I definitely think you can feel it. You can sense it.
All right.
I think he's now just like, we're just playing one game at a time. Like, kind of, he's not saying this. He's a great interview. Like, I get to go in the dugout quite a bit. And he just is, he's just kind of like, you guys know, like, let's not ask me about playoff stuff. We're going to try to win today. But, like, he knows.
All right, let's do some leftovers from Ask Reddit that we did not get to during the expressway.
All right, you want me to? I'm going to give the one that I'm going to lead off just with one repeat because I think Kevin and Corey and Mike too, but especially Corey. I feel like Corey always has answers for things like this. What dead celebrity would absolutely hate their current fan base? I went with Kurt Cobain. I think Cobain would hate being mainstream.
Oh, I could see that. That's a good answer.
Because he's... Now it's like these kids are like, yeah, wear Nirvana shirts.
Yeah, exactly. He's become everything mainstream that his whole band was meant to counter.
Do you think Michael Jackson would be mad at how many adults like him?
At how his fans grew up? That's probably something. Because in Neverland, they're not supposed to grow up.
Nope.
No? I was thinking of Michael Jackson, but... I don't think the Michael Jackson love has changed.
Which is weird, right?
I think it's really weird. I guess it depends on what you believe.
When we were in Vegas and they had that whole place dedicated to him, I was like, this still exists? Right. Yeah. This is a thing?
Come on.
It's the most, mostly I feel like it would be musicians. So like Sid Vicious, like from Sex Pistols. Like he would not love being idolized, I think. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Was that a wrestler?
That was a wrestler, yes. That's what I thought.
Sid Vicious?
Yeah. He came after the band, obviously.
There was a wrestler in studio the other day with that really cool face mask or whatever that
Darby
was.
Darby Allin.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
That was cool.
I like talking to him.
Did he do the makeup like in the women's bathroom?
No, it was from yesterday. It was from the day before. Ew. He left it on.
He said he didn't shower just so he could show up like that. I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's choppy behavior. Bassick, what's the most physical pain you've ever felt? I feel like as an athlete, you should have a good answer for this.
Physical pain?
Yeah.
I'll tell you the thing that I hated doing was there's this, I always forget the name of this. You're like,
that's what you're doing in the hallway.
You
It's like a climber
it's
almost.
It's like a climber, and we would have to sprint on it for like 60 seconds. Miserable. Like throw up miserable. I didn't throw up, but I would feel horrible after that. I feel like that is the hardest cardio thing I've ever done.
My dumb ass, when I was 8 years old, there was a fence post that had fallen over in our backyard, and there was a nail sticking up out of it. And I was like, surely my shoe would be able to slam down this nail and make sure that it wasn't sticking up. I stomped right on top of that nail and sent it right through my toe.
Home Alone style?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right through my big toe.
You intentionally did.
And my mom was like, was it a clean or a dirty nail? And I was sitting there through my head trying to go like, which one is more likely to get me sent to the hospital where I don't want to go? So I was like,
clean?
She was like, okay. I was like, it was not clean. It was very rusty. It was very bad. Worst physical pain you felt?
When I was a kid and didn't totally understand how the sunburn worked, we had been we had been at Wet n Wild and maybe not responsible. So I was sunburned everywhere. We also had a slip and slide. And so I like the next day I ran and jumped on the slip and slide. Oh my God. It was the worst pain.
Are slip and slides still a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah,
they were awesome.
Choppy had a story. The Bears were using them in training camp, like teaching their quarterbacks to slide. They brought them out to camp and had their quarterbacks run up and like slide on them or whatever. I had the worst was whenever you'd put it in your lawn and there's like an unforeseen rock or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd like slide the worst right over it.
You go through your front yard and miss, or you go right through it and then hit the sidewalk and then go right over that little patch of green grass on the side and then hit the street and just keep skidding.
How fast were you going?
Dude, Bobby, I'm changing my answer. I totally forgot.
Oh, give it to me.
When I had kidney stones. That was the worst.
Oh, yeah. I dread that.
Kidney stones.
I passed my keys. I parked in front of the hospital in Kinston, North Carolina.
Passed your keys?
And there was a nurse smoking a cigarette. It's North Carolina, remember, in the 90s.
Winston,
he's like, you can't park there. I threw the guy my keys and said, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. I didn't care where the car. I just gave him the car. I was like, here's the car. I don't care where it goes. I'm going to die.
What did they do with the car?
I guess he parked it like is in that.
Oh, that's nice.
In that moment, I was in such pain, I didn't care. And I did get back into a room very quick when they want you to fill out all the paperwork. And they're like, what's wrong? And you say, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. They then stop the paperwork and then they put you into a room.
So you've never had kidney stones, Sean?
No.
Dude, I got it one time. Oh. One time. And it was not as bad as that. But it was every... Like, I think I know what contractions feel like now. It was like every minute I felt like there was just a small blade being run across something inside like my back.
How do you know when it starts?
For me,
urinating?
The dull pain, I think, is whenever you start
to... It's when it's in your track in between your kidneys and your...
And what causes them?
Urethra.
Is there something
it's a calcium buildup in your system? Adrian had it twice while she was pregnant.
Oh.
And they had to go in and basically what we learned was there are four nodes in your neck that help balance your calcium. And they went in, they had to remove three of them and they only left half of one because she was so like overproducing. They did it in a 4-hour span. They did this surgery and monitored her calcium build up during this time and were able to say, yes, we can only leave half of one of these nodes in your or a paranode or something like that. So that kind of stunk. One time I had a tree limb like about this big around fall. I was cutting it out. I was in a tree.
How big is that for people listening? Jeff Passon story.
Yeah, about 2 feet. Okay. I was in a tree. I cut the limb. It fell, landed in the yard, but it landed straight up and then fell over. And it stuck me, it wedged me between the tree and it had my leg wedged. And I just crawled down the ladder and just laid there in the ground. And my kids.
Do you have to cut off your leg like James Franco in that movie?
I thought I was going to have to with a pair of fingernail clippers. It was going to be bad.
Hagee, what's the one question a man should never ask a woman, no matter how tempting?
Probably what's your body count, right?
Oh, see, that's the same one Peyton came up with.
Weight is much worse than that. Body count.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about asking that.
See, they always say don't ask a woman her age. I feel like that one has... kind of fallen by the wayside. I don't think people, that one doesn't seem to be as big of a taboo in society anymore as it used to be.
Because old women are embracing their old. They're like, hey, you know, this makes me wise and powerful.
Exactly. You know? No ageism here. What would you say is the one question you can't ask, Corey?
I think age.
Age still?
I mean, wait.
You just said age is
fine. My apologies. Wait.
Yeah. Mike, I bet you have a... What would you just want to ask somebody? I feel like that's the one we probably shouldn't do. That's the one.
Are you pregnant?
That's a good one.
That one is so uncomfortable. And last one here. What are some subtle signs of a bad friend?
They call you toxic.
They don't ask you any questions about yourself ever.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's very me focused. Yeah.
Man, I dated a girl once who was super good looking, but that's all she ever wanted to talk about was her. I was like, I'm done with this.
I would have put up with it.
Did you want to talk about you?
Yeah, would have put up with it.
Easy, wanted to talk about you.
Is that
at least equal or like kind of equal? 60-40?
All right, we are back tomorrow.
Wait, before you say that,
oh no,
we're talking football out of the gate. If Barry Fish is listening, are we keeping him or are we losing him to start?
Don't know. I hope he
sticks around. He hasn't sent any messages yet here on the YouTube.
Oh, Barry, please, Barry, listen, Barry. Barry, we need you, Barry.
Oh my God. Obviously in y'all's heads. It worked. The KMC masterpiece is next, maybe with Barry Fish or not on The Fan.